Reading today from Canto 10, chapter 12, verses 35 to 37. We'll chant verse 37. I'll just read the Sanskrit and the translation and purports for the other verse. Verse 35, translation. When Lord Brahma heard the wonderful ceremony going on near his planet, accompanied by music and songs and sounds of jai, jai. Jai, jai.
Jai, jai.
Thank you. Jai. That's the only word that Srila Prabhupada ever said to me. he said one word. I didn't even know what it meant. And when I asked the devotee, he said it means victory. So I took that as an auspicious sign. Let me read again. When Lord Brahma heard the wonderful ceremony going on near his planet, accompanied by music and songs and sounds of jai, jai, he immediately came down to see the function. Upon seeing so much glorification of Lord Krishna, he was completely astonished. Purport. Here the word anti, meaning near, indicating that even the higher planetary systems near Brahmaloka, like Maharloka, Janaloka, and Tapaloka, the festival of glorification of Lord Krishna was going on. Text 36. Translation. O King Parikshit, when the python-shaped body of Agasura dried up into merely a big skin, it became a wonderful place for the inhabitants of Vrindavan to visit, and it remained so for a long time. Today's verse, 37. Translation. This incident of Krishna saving himself and his associates from death and of giving deliverance to Agasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Brajabhumi after 1 year, as if it had taken place on that very day. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word mokshanam means liberation. For the associates of Krishna and for Krishna himself, there is no question about liberation. They are already liberated, being in the spiritual world. In the material world, there are birth, death, old age, and disease. But in the spiritual world, there are no such things, because everything is eternal. As for the python, however, by the association of Krishna and his devotees, Agasura also achieved the same facility of eternal life. Therefore, as indicated here by the word Atmahi Mokshanam, if the python Agasura could receive eternal association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are already associates of the Lord? Sakang Vijahru Kritapunya Punjaha. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, verse Chapter 12, verse 11. Here is proof that God is good for everyone. Even when he kills someone, the one who is killed attains liberation. What then is to be said of those who are already in the association of the Lord? Etat kamarijam karma hare atma hi mokshanam mrityo paugandike bala Drishvocho Vismita Brije. This incident of Krishna's saving himself and his associates from death and of giving deliverance to Agasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Brajabhumi after 1 year, as if it had taken place on that very day. Omagyana Timarandasya Janandana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitang Yena Tasmai Shi Guruve Namaha. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Pajitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Could I ask what time we finish, please? 8:30. Okay. I will leave some time for questions at the end. Before I start, I'd like to ask the senior devotees to please give me their blessings, that I may say something useful to us and hopefully applicable in our lives. Thank you. I'd like to discuss a subject here called ethics, which generally means moral philosophy, and somehow relate it to this verse. Sometimes ethics, or what we call moral philosophy, is framed or considered in terms of character or character traits. That's sometimes called, those of you know something about philosophy, I can see Nis Kinchana knows something, yeah? Moral philosophy. You have a smile on your face. Well, that's good. Some of us may know something of moral philosophy. In the West, virtue ethics are associated with Aristotle. Sometimes moral philosophy is seen in terms of duty or rationale, intelligence, or consequences. What are the consequences of our action? There's several reasons I'd like to discuss, or we'd like to explore, let's say, moral philosophy. I've got three here, and I'd like us to consider these, if you would. One, the tendency to consider ourselves transcendental to morality. It's called antinomianism. Are we above the law because we are devotees? There was one devotee, Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu, you might know the story that once one devotee was caught stealing flowers in order to offer them to Krishna. This was a leela, if I can call it that we had when we were on traveling sanctan. The devotee was brought up before the magistrate, and his defense was to the magistrate, "We were doing this for God." To which the magistrate replied, "Then let God pay your fine." So do we consider ourselves transcendental to morality and ethical concerns? That's one question. The second point I'm going to make is that moral questions keep on coming up in ISKCON, don't they? What are some of the moral questions that keep coming up internally and in out? I'll come to some of them later. But they don't seem to go away. I think when I joined ISKCON in 1973, I think we had a thought that somehow or other we would avoid all those moral issues. And we would very soon go back to Godhead, and we wouldn't have to deal with many of the issues of this world. However, as time goes on, I think my conclusion is personally that we can't actually circumvent or go round those issues. We have to fail them. We have to, face them. Freudian slip, sorry. And a third point I want to say is we tend to consider morality or character in terms of the individual, and rather than in terms of relationships to individuals or to community. And I'd like to put a little focus on this idea of community. With regards for being trans, so I've got 3 points, actually. The tendency to consider ourselves transcendental. The fact that moral questions keep on arising, both within ISKCON and also in our outreach. And thirdly, we tend to consider morality or character in terms of the individual rather than in terms of relationships. I'm going to try and relate this to the verse, by the way. With regards to being transcendental, the word is often used amoral. It means one's actually got nothing to do with morality. It's different than immoral, but amoral. Generally speaking, those who write on ethics suggest that the Vedic tradition or the Hindu tradition is amoral because we're simply interested in liberation. And what has that got to do with morality? There's a general opinion. However, I think this suggests otherwise. And His Holiness Bhakti Purushottama Swami yesterday explained that the devotee is not, and as mentioned here, the devotee is not interested in moksha. In fact, Maharaj was saying that moksha itself is a form of cheating. That's impersonal liberation particularly, is a form of cheating, which means that it's a form of immorality. Second point. Oh yes, moral questions arising in ISKCON. They don't seem to go away. We are faced with the position of gays, homosexuality within ISKCON. And it's very controversial. Do we condemn it? Do we support it? There seem to be kind of polarized positions on that. The role of women. Women as gurus. The guru issue more broadly. One I brought up the other day in our teacher training class is, do we call women Prabhu or Mataji? And there are some quite vehement discussions on that. I don't know. Some have suggested that actually this whole calling ladies Prabhu is a new phenomenon linked with feminism within ISKCON. But when I joined, I don't know, Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu, whether you had the experience, but when I joined, we called all ladies Prabhu. I think we have to be very thoughtful about these issues. Otherwise, if we're not, strange things happen. I'm going to tell this story again, that I was here in Bhaktivedanta Manor many years ago, and there was a big festival. And the temple president was explaining, because there were many devotees here, where we should go for prasadam. So he explained that the brahmacharis, would you please stay in the temple room? All guests, we're going to feed you over in the prasadam room. And we've reserved the landing for the unmarried mothers. I really want you to think about this, actually. That took a long time. Unmarried mothers. I was kind of horrified to think there'd been a number of guests here who actually thought that this organization is very interesting. It has a whole room, a dining room, for their unmarried mothers. I think, again, we need to be very reflective on what's going on, often in community. Some thoughtfulness has to be there. I'd suggest, I feel that somehow or other, we have to give these issues more explicit attention, because the moral issues that are arising are not going to go away. And there are a lot of concerns within ISKCON and also for our preaching. Some have suggested that our Vedic tradition has been somewhat hesitant or reticent to deal with moral issues, and that it favors spirituality above morality. Of course, we could say that it's above mundane morality, but is it above morality altogether? Often morality is identified with the path of karma yoga, good and bad action. But is it that? Is it really above morality? I would propose, and this is some what I've been thinking of and studying recently, that we actually have a transcendental ethics rather than a transcendence of ethics. And that ethics is very much about virtues, and those virtues developed in relationship with others, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also in relationship with the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. There is we have an ethical system. Some writers and scholars have noticed that the Chaitanya, particularly the late Joseph O'Connell, he was in Oxford some years ago. Some of you may have met him or heard of him. He writes about the reticence of the Chaitanya Vaishnav tradition to deal with moral philosophy and morality, and suggests that this was somehow instrumental in its degradation prior to the appearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who had to really resurrect. At that time, Gaudiya Vaishnavism had a very poor reputation, so we hear. Mm-hmm. It seems that in our tradition, there is a conflation. We mix everything up, which may be okay, of ethics, logic, metaphysics, in other words, at philosophical truths, if you like, religion, epistemology, our science of knowledge. It's all mixed up. And there may be relationships between the way we see the world, our epistemology, for example, and the way we respond to the world. That's true. But I'm suggesting that we actually need a kind of moral philosophy to make decisions in this world, an explicit moral philosophy. Otherwise, how do we know that we're not simply taking a particular approach to morality, which I call my opinion backed with Shastra? It's very easy to actually simply express our own opinion, and to anyone with a little intelligence, I'd suggest, can actually draw from Shastra to prove their own point of view. So I'm suggesting we need a moral philosophy, one for our own community to develop, our own community development, and secondly, for outreach. I mean, can we really enter into the moral debates that are going on in the world today? Are we able to do that? Can we enter into those conversations really and make a real contribution? Coming into the kirtan this morning, I was reminded of the contribution that the holy name makes to our moral development, our character development, and how it actually helps in what Aristotle would call our happiness, our flourishing, our finding satisfaction. So for two reasons, we may need moral philosophy. We need to be able to make moral decisions for our own community development and for our own outreach. I think in terms of outreach, yesterday Gauri Prabhu asked the question about the traumatic effect that violence has on people in the world, and whether or not our stories, for example, the Leela we're discussing in this chapter, are actually somehow sanitizing or glorifying or valorizing, supporting, if you like, violence. So he's raising the question of how much our shastras and narrative is actually relevant to our own life. I think that's important to look at. Third point, morality in terms of relationships and community. In this verse, the cowherd boys, I'll read something here, if I can find it. The cowherd boys were fearless, but not because of their own attributes. Sometimes we think that virtue is about something we develop in isolation from others. We go on a retreat, we look inwards, we find some virtue. Some thinkers are suggesting that virtue is something that we find in community, that's embedded in community. Let me see if I can find this verse. Yes, this is from verse 18 of this chapter. In other words, the boys, unafraid, thought that it was a statue made in the shape of a great python for the enjoyment of their pastimes. I was actually thinking our children's playgrounds should have some agosaura features. Do they have them anywhere? Has anyone done that? They do. So someone's beat me to it. Okay, that's good. I hope it's not 8 miles long. There may be some planning issues. But the boys thought this is actually something put here for our pastimes. Purport. Some of the boys, upon seeing the wonderful phenomenon, thought that it was, in fact, a python. And they were fleeing from the spot. But others said, "Why are you fleeing? It is not possible that a python like this is staying here. This is a spot of beauty for sporting." This is what they imagined. So actually they were, some of them were fearful, but some or other, they were persuaded. But even if they had thought, and some of them did think, it was a real python, they were fearless because they knew that Krishna would protect them. That was their position. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulam. Now, one thing I'd like to address here is how, again, that question of whether do we develop value? I'm going to express some of my own perceptions and try and relate it to Shastra, of course, is that actually the values we develop in our communities are not just related to our personal sadhana, important as it may be. But the reason that devotees tend to lose their faith or their trust has got a lot to do with community. If you think, why do devotees either leave ISKCON or become somehow distant from it? It's easy to say that it may be their lack of faith. By the way, faith and trust aren't they very similar words? Actually, in actual fact, faith and trust, to have that faith in Krishna, that trust in Krishna. Often those challenges come through some of our social interactions, especially when there's leadership challenges. And I think we need to actually look at that a little bit. There was one scholar recently went to Mayapur, and he was doing some research into community development as related to ethics. And this is what he concluded, which may be a little alarming, although I responded to this. In his article, he was studying at Cambridge University, doing a PhD. He writes, "I suggest that, founded on the notions of the individual as the moral unit of salvation, where detachment is a central virtue, Chaitanya Vaishnavism's devotional ethics and community exist in an antagonistic relationship." What he noted was that devotees seem to put a lot of attention on detachment from the world and their own sadhana. And he was suggesting that somehow or other, this is not consistent with the idea of developing a virtuous community. Mm. I wrote back and said, I think you're right, possibly about what's been embedded, the values that are embedded in our community, but they're not necessarily consistent with our own theology. And this is an important point I think we need to recognize, is that actually the values we have individually are not always the same as the values we should have. And that's part of the spiritual process, isn't it? Just a couple of days ago, Someone was in the middle of the road when I was driving, and I got angry. And I thought afterwards, why did I get angry? So we demonstrate behavior and values, or vices in this case, that are not consistent with our theology. Also, on the organizational level, certain virtues and values may become embedded within the society that are also not consistent with our tradition. And therefore, there is a need within ISKCON, and particularly amongst those of us who are leaders, and I'm using the term leader broadly. If we're a parent, we're also a leader. Are the values in our family the ones that we desire? And how? The question is, how do we develop virtues? It is also too easy if another devotee has a challenge, or there's a challenge in our community or our family, to say, we must actually improve our sadhana. I'm suggesting, even though the chanting of Hare Krishna is indeed the panacea for all ills, that we somehow have to address some of these issues. Because if I'm a leader, whether it's in my family or I've got a formal position, I have some responsibility to protect and to nurture those who are subordinate to me or dependent upon me. So from this verse, it would be easy for us to say that we must take shelter of Krishna, or Vishvambara, Prabhu, you should take shelter of Krishna. But is that good enough? What about those people who are now languishing in hospital in London and Manchester, who are the victims of the terrorist attacks? There's been three in the last 3 months. How are we going to really respond to them if we got the opportunity to visit them in hospital or meet them? Will we simply tell them, you must depend on Krishna? Of course, that is true. We should try and encourage them. But there's something else that perhaps people need, and that is they need to be protected. And therefore, it is very important that we as Vaishnavas see ourselves as representatives of Krishna. I'm going to finish a little quite quickly because I do want to take some questions here. Krishna has three functions, you know that. When Vishnu appears, there are three functions. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 8, the Lord says, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam. The Lord descends to give protection to the pious and to kill the demons. The potency, therefore, to give protection to the pious and to kill the demons or the undesirables is directly an energy of the Supreme Lord and the king or the chief executive is supposed, And the king or the chief executive is supposed to possess such energy. In other words, one who actually sees him or herself as a representative of the Supreme Lord has a responsibility. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam, as well as to establish the principles of religion. There must be that protection. There must, particularly ones who are an administrative leader, it must be there. To finish, if you look at morality in the world today, we don't have a lot of time to do this, but one feature of it is that it's very much impelled by what I call sensual expediency, what's good for our sense pleasure. Yeah, the politicians are suggesting that, you know, this will actually keep you happy, give you pleasure. And the second one, very much connected to this, is arta, economic development. It's called financial expediency. Whatever brings in more money is considered good politically. If you actually look at our tradition, we have a whole system of dharma, of morality. It's called Varnashram. I'm not going to get into a whole discussion of whether or not we need Varnashram. I see some responses. But there's certainly a movement now to recognize that we need to embed that system. And by the way, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that in his conversation with, who was it? Ramananda Roy, right. Srila Prabhupada very clearly explains in a talk on the 14th of February 1977 that this does not apply to us. That was applicable to Lord Chaitanya because of his level of advancement. If we can talk about Lord Chaitanya's level of advancement. It doesn't apply to us. We need to actually set the example for all the world to follow. And particularly, again, coming back to character, we must all become ideal in our character, and then people will be very impressed with such purity. A devotee is faultless. He has no flaws. That's the letter to Bhatu Gopal, February the 1st, 1973. To conclude, I'm going to suggest that actually what we need to do in the West, there's this financial expedience. People are, according to Srila Prabhupada, more or less on the level of, in terms of value, Shudras and perhaps some Vaishyas. I'm going to suggest that we in ISKCON need to embrace some of the stories, the narrative in our tradition, and especially need to move towards a more protective leadership, a noble leadership that doesn't make decisions primarily based on money, but on the protection of others, and particularly those within our society. This has to become one of our focuses. How can we protect, actually, probably not a very popular word to talk about nobles these days. It's seen as you can't be hierarchical today. This is a challenge we have. Hierarchy is a no-no. Because people are so frustrated with what authority has done with the exercise of authority and the excesses of priests and kings, particularly from the time of the Enlightenment and the French Revolution, that they've actually almost given up on authority. And they said that I'm my own authority. So that's a challenge we have. But we do have this model. It's based on a hierarchy of virtues. It's not based on your gender. It's not based on your particular religion, your ethnicity. There's none of that discrimination, which many people are opposed to in the world to do. It's based on our gunas. I've suggested that our leadership needs to move a little bit away from the kind of Vaishya-type model to a more Kshatriya-like model, where our concern is, are we protecting others? Am I virtuous? And are all the people in my community developing virtue? Because if we try to standardize belief or philosophical understanding, if we try to standardize behavior, but we don't develop virtue, then we've missed the point somewhere or other. Yeah? Vede Gaya Hara Charito. The spiritual master is glorified for his character. Something to think about. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.